Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. This week's story is a listener suggestion. Thank you to Zoe for bringing a Morris story to my attention. And thank you, lifers, for being patient with an all-over-the-place schedule. My move is now all done and we're settled into our new home. A home with much more room and a beautiful garden that I have big plans for. We love our new neighbourhood and cannot wait to explore more and to make some new friends. Also, there is an interview with Blaine on Death Row that is available on YouTube, which I watched preparing for this episode. He actually really infuriated me. How clueless he seemed while he was in prison, almost oblivious to the heartache and devastation he left behind by what he did. His mother too. She obviously is upset her son is on death row, but what about what he did to baby Amora? Now, I do intend on linking this interview in the show notes, but friends of the podcast will know I always forget. So if I do, please remind me in the Facebook group and I'll pop the link in there. December 2008, Henderson, Texas. A mother and her boyfriend believe her 13-month-old baby girl is possessed by a demon named Martha. And he would perform a depraved exorcism that would brutally take the toddler's life. This would mark a series of heinous acts that would forever mark an innocent toddler. Amora's tragic case echoes the most terrifying of horror movies and stands as a stark reminder of the dangers that can proliferate when unchecked evil meets vulnerability. This is Amora's story.
You know, kind of like The Exorcist, you know, have you ever seen, you know, when demons come into people or whatever, and the devil had came into Blaine. You know, I mean, it sounds crazy, but I mean, I would not be making this stuff up.
I'm a Christian. I believe in demon possession.
Yeah, and so, and I am too. And, you know, I kind of knew, I mean, I knew about demon possession, but, you know, you can't really believe something for sure until you see it with your own eyes. And so when the devil started coming in me, talking to me, saying, you know, I'm going to take Blaine's soul tonight, you know, all this kind of stuff, it started really freaking me out. And, you know, now it's gotten into a more now. And then I said, okay, well, can't we, like, have an exorcism or something to get rid of it? And he said, God said it was too late. And I was like, what do you mean God said it was too late? Because if she doesn't go to heaven now, she will live her life with Satan having her, her soul.
Amora Bain Carson was born November 12, 2007 in Henderson, Texas, to teenage parents Jessica Carson and Arlen Mutina. Jessica was a high school senior at the time and Arlen was serving overseas in the army. I get the impression Jessica and Arlen were never actually in a relationship. I think it was more of a physical arrangement which resulted in a pregnancy. Jessica didn't allow this to hold her back from her academic goals, and she would graduate with honours from Lakeview High School. Which is commendable, given Arlen really wasn't a part of Amora's life. Now that is out of no fault of his own, he was overseas on assignment, but Jessica was doing it all by herself. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Rebate in form of Visa gift card equal to 100% off the second eligible item purchased before or after applicable discounts, if any. See details. Offer ends 7/9.
Soon after having Amora, 18-year-old Jessica Carson would start talking to 18-year-old Blaine Milam in an online chat room. The two immediately hit it off and would begin dating, Blaine even taking Jessica to a senior prom. This was a whirlwind romance. Jessica and Blaine would get engaged and move in together, Amora in tow, within a year of meeting. The young family initially moving into Blaine's mother's home in Rusk County. And it seemed in the beginning everything was going great. According to family and friends, Jessica was a loving and devoted mother who deeply cared for her daughter, and Blaine loved Amora like she was his own. However, by mid-2008, Blaine would restrict Jessica's contact with her family and friends, suddenly speaking about the occult and demonology, and Blaine wouldn't allow Jessica to leave the house without him. Neighbours later reporting hearing regular arguments. It was obvious that something had changed, and seriously, not for the good. Arlen's sister and Amora's aunt. She spent a lot of time with Amora when she was younger. She would later testify the last time she saw her niece was November 2008, and that's when she met Blaine. She said she was playing with Amora and noticed a red mark on Amora's lower forearm that looked like a bite mark. That Jessica was quieter than normal and was almost submissive to her new boyfriend. It got to the point that enough was enough, and Blaine's mother would throw the couple and Amora out. They would move into a mobile home on the 2100 block on Country Road in Henderson, Texas.
15 seconds.
Rescue 911.
Yes. My name is Blaine Milam, and my daughter, I just found her dead.
How old's your daughter?
13 months.
Ma'am, that's we're going to try two. CPR anyway, okay?
16
get her to the
hours,
phone now.
51 minutes. 26 seconds.
Get her, hurry.
Are you there?
Yes.
Y'all stalling is not helping her at all.
Go.
If he's not going to do it, you put the phone down and go get that baby and get her to the phone.
December 2nd, 2008, 10:35 a.m., Blaine made a panicked call to 911, claiming they'd briefly left 13-month-old Amora home alone. And when they returned, they found the toddler not breathing. That the toddler had a blood ring around her mouth, like she'd been biting insulation they had in their house for renovations. First responders arrived at the scene within 20 minutes, and they discovered what would later be described as the most gruesome crime scene involving a child they'd ever seen. Amora being found in a hole in the floor of the bathroom that was being remodeled. Amora was already in rigor mortis and was completely battered, beaten by some sort of object, now believed to be a hammer. She also had as many as 20 bite marks all over her body. Amora's autopsy would be horrific. Her sweet little face was covered with abrasions and scrapes to the point the abrasions were touching each other and appeared to be like one big injury. She had 18 rib fractures, extensive bleeding under her scalp, multiple fractures to the back of her skull that connected to each other like a jigsaw puzzle. Amora had a lacerated liver, spiral fractures to an arm and leg indicating they had been twisted. A bleeding blood vessel on her neck that was evidence of strangulation. The medical examiner who performed Amora's autopsy said that they were the worst injuries he'd ever seen on a child. And if this wasn't horrific enough, Amora's autopsy found evidence of a sexual assault. Her vaginal and anal orifices were so torn her vagina and anus were connected. The medical examiner said he had never witnessed such an injury before.
Come on, sit down. It'd be warmer in here. Hey, bub.
Come on in, have a seat. Good. I want to make sure that you understand I'm a Texas Ranger, okay? Mm-hmm. And I've got a tape recorder playing right now, but you're not under arrest. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
I mean, you're sitting here in my car, and I'm talking because the tape can't see us. It can only hear us, okay? Yes. But you don't have handcuffs on. No. I ask you to come over here and just sit down. We're just sitting and visiting. Is that right?
Right.
Now, what I want you to do, Blaine, is just in your own words, and I know this is hard, buddy, but I want you to just tell me what happened this morning.
I gave her a bottle. We were walking down to the property. We call it the property because that's where I'm having our new mobile home put.
Okay. You gave the baby a bottle?
Yes.
Okay.
It's in there on the bed.
All right. Okay. Go ahead. And you and Jess walked down to the property?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So we just started marking off the stuff, and about an hour flies by. And between that hour and a half, we walk down here, walk in the house.
Okay.
And she wasn't nowhere to be found.
Okay. Go ahead, I'm listening to you.
All right. And then by that time, we're searching for, and there's a hole in my mama's bathroom.
Okay.
All right. That's where she was.
Now at first, Jessica and Blaine claimed they had left Amora sleeping to walk up the road to talk to a man about clearing some land for them. That they were gone for about an hour. And when they returned, they found Amora in the way she was found by first responders. But then the stories kept changing. Amora was in a car accident the day before. At one point, even suggesting that the family dog had attacked the toddler. That Amora was still alive when Blaine called 911, and then she wasn't. That she was already dead. Jessica wasn't making any sense about the events leading up to Amora being found in her brutal condition either. One moment, she was crying and distraught, and then she was laughing, making jokes. Never once referring to Amora by her name, only that baby. Jessica told investigators a story they would later describe as being extremely bizarre. There were so many inconsistencies with what Blaine and Jessica were telling police, and their stories were forever changing. When police spoke to the man Jessica and Blaine claimed they met that morning, he denied ever meeting with them. A video surveillance showed that the couple had visited a pawn shop. They casually browsed through DVDs and pawned two items. 10 minutes later, another CCTV camera showed the couple at a gas station buying cigarettes. They appeared casual and unbothered. Blaine's sister received a phone call around 9:30 a.m, in which Blaine told her he'd already found Amora dead. However, Blaine's call to 911 would be made over an hour later. On the call, Blaine and Jessica sounded frantic, acting as though they had only just discovered Amora. A search of the family's trailer revealed extensive DNA evidence. It was highly unlikely Amora could have been killed anywhere else. Inside the trailer, police found bloodstains on the walls of the bedroom. They also found bloodied bedding and baby clothes. A bloodstained diaper and wipes. A tube of Astroglide and a pair of jeans with bloodstains were also discovered, all collected as evidence, the blood later being DNA matched to belonging to Amora. Police also received a tip from Blaine's family after his sister Teresa went to see him in jail. He told her that she needed to dispose of evidence he hid under the trailer. Police obtained a search warrant and discovered more evidence. They found a wrench in a plastic bag. Forensic testing determined the presence of Astroglide and the contents of Amora's diaper on the wrench. It appeared that Blaine and Jessica had placed Amora in the hole in the bathroom floor and then attempted to confuse police by staging fake Halloween blood in the home. With further investigation, forensic experts were able to match most of the bite marks to the couple. 8 bite marks were matched to Blaine and 1 to Jessica. Jessica tried to explain away the bite marks as when Amora acted like Chucky from Child's Play or Gage from Pet Sematary. That Blaine had bit Amora so hard that he drew blood. Jessica Carson would be the one to crack and confess. That Blaine Milam was responsible for her daughter's death. That he was performing an exorcism on Amora at the time of her death. Amora being subjected to this for 30 hours. Both Blaine and Jessica were arrested and charged with capital murder. Bond was set at $2 million each. And if convicted, the couple were facing the death penalty. Blaine Milam had a troubling criminal history. March 2007, Blaine served time for breaking into a home where a 13-year-old girl lived, going through her underwear drawer. and then he took some adult magazine pictures he cut out and wrote obscene notes in the pictures telling this child how he would like to perform such acts. Although Blaine never physically touched the girl, he was placed in the sex offender registry, charged with criminal solicitation of a minor under 14, and he was put on probation. In August 2008, Blaine was supposed to spend 180 days in jail, meaning he should have been in jail at the time Amora was killed. However, due to a system error, he was let out on work release only 48 days into his sentence. When Blaine and Jessica eventually moved into a mobile home of their own, Blaine didn't update law enforcement with his new address, and officials lost track of him. Blaine never went back to jail to finish his sentence, and Jessica knew all of this. She was actually present at Blaine's hearing. Blaine was not supposed to be within 200 feet of premises where children gathered, like schools or playgrounds. He couldn't be around any children for that fact, unless it was a biological child or sibling. And because of that, Jessica shouldn't have been living there with Amora because she wasn't his biological child. And here is another case of a mother choosing her boyfriend over the best interests of her child. As I said, she knew all of this, and yet she still believed Blaine wanted the best for her and her child. Because it wasn't just this conviction, which in itself is bad enough. Blaine also had a serious methamphetamine addiction, a drug he had been using since he was 12 years old. In the 3 months before Amora was killed, Blaine had attempted suicide twice.
All right, tell me, just start off, tell me the story about what happened this morning.
Okay,
I
decided to go out to the property. So we walked down to the property, and we didn't plan on being there that long, but we just got in, start talking details about everything, about the trailer and everything. And
did Blaine resent you having the baby? Did that cause a problem in y'all's relationship?
No, he loved that little baby.
Why would he hurt her?
Huh?
Why would he hurt her?
He wouldn't.
Why would he lie to me then?
Huh?
Why would he lie to me? He told me you were an honor graduate in Longview High School. You're
what?
A very smart girl. Y'all were together this morning for about an hour or an hour and a half, and your stories do not match. One of you's lying to me, or both of you's lying. Right now's the time for you to tell me the truth about what... Let's get it out. That's the only way that this is ever going to be right, is for us to get it out. So right now, just tell me what happened.
I would never hurt that baby.
Tell me what happened.
I wouldn't either.
Tell me what happened.
He loves that little baby.
But just tell me the truth about what happened. Let's get it so you can get it off your chest. Because it's just going to eat you up if you don't. It's just going to eat you up.
No,
Tell me what happened.
I could tell you, but you wouldn't believe me.
I will. I will believe you.
No, you won't.
I will believe you. I promise.
If you do, none of the other cops won't. Because it's something that they will not believe.
I will believe you. I promise you. I will believe you.
But they won't. And they're going to think we're lying about it, and we're not. That's why we made up this story.
All right. Tell me what really happened, because this is the time to get it right. And speak up loud enough so I can hear it on the tape.
Let's see, when was it? Blaine's dad died in September, early September. And right after he died, we bought an Ouija board. And we didn't know they were bad and it was an omen or anything like that. Like, we're very strong believers of God and everything. And we bought an Ouija board, and then, you know, we heard that it worked, but we never actually did believe people when they said it had worked, so we wanted to try it out for ourselves. And then, you know, my dad's dead too. He died when I was 10.
I'm sorry.
And, you know, so I asked my daddy that I thought, you know, a question that he would know that nobody else would know. And I had never told Blaine that. And so when he spelled it out and everything, I was like, you know, this is my daddy. And so we did that, and, you know, like, this is like a telephone to heaven. And we thought it was really cool and everything. So we kept talking to our dads, telling them how much we missed them. And, you know, and we talked to him for about 8 hours straight that night. And we started getting really freaked. And we, we got this little music box from one of his friends that's Chinese, and it has these Chinese people singing, you know, God will protect us, demons leave this house, because they said our apartment was possessed because weird stuff started happening and everything. So we left and we kept that music box there and blessed it, and then we blessed the Ouija board and then we threw it away. And you know, kind of like The Exorcist, you know, have you ever seen, you know, when demons come into people or whatever. And the devil had came into Blaine. And, you know, I mean, it sounds crazy, but I mean, I would not be making this stuff up.
I'm a Christian. I believe in demon possession.
Yeah, and so, and I am too. And, you know, I kind of knew, I mean, I knew about demon possession, but, you know, you can't really believe something for sure until you see it with your own eyes. And so when the devil started coming in me, talking to me, saying, you know, I'm going to take Blaine's soul tonight, you know, all this kind of stuff, it started really freaking me out. And, you know, now it's gotten into a more now. And then I said, okay, well, can't we, like, have an exorcism or something to get rid of it? But Blaine came back outside, and I said, what did you run in the house saying a more for? He said, God told me she got that hammer and was hitting herself in the head, and those marks on her head was, I think, from that where she was hitting herself, or that demon was hitting herself on the head. I was like, you know, there's got to be something else we can do. I was like, we can get money. We can go to a minister and see if he can help, or go to find a priest somewhere and see if, you know, we can make payments on him doing exorcism or something. See if we can do just anything. There's got to be another way. And he said, God said it was too late. And I was like, what do you mean God said it was too late? And then he was crying while he was saying this and everything. He was like, because if she doesn't go to heaven now, she will live her life with Satan having her soul, you know?
Things really started to go downhill when Jessica purchased an Ouija board at Blaine's insistence. The plan was to use it to communicate with Jessica's father, who took his own life when she was 10 years old. Blaine's own father also died a few months earlier of a stroke, and this affected Blaine greatly. Blaine had been raised by his father as a single parent, and he was homeschooled from grade 4. It was essentially just Blaine and his dad for most of Blaine's life. So his father's death may have served as a catalyst for the severe decline in his mental health. Now, this Ouija board allegedly told them things that only their fathers would know, but it also told Jessica that her mother had something to do with her father's suicide, and that she needed to do something about it to find peace. This led the couple to believe they had some special powers, believing they could communicate with God and they were on this planet to serve his will. Soon Jessica became convinced that Blaine, Amora and their apartment had been possessed by demons. Now there has been some suggestion on online true crime and unsolved mysteries forums that Jessica may have been suffering from postpartum psychosis at this time. And with Blaine's heavy drug use added to the mix, I can understand why the two may have been convinced about the demonic possession. Regardless, by December 2018, these delusions reached the point of no return. They decided Amora needed an exorcism to save her, to free her from the demon inside her. December 1st, 2018. Blaine told Jessica he believed Amora was possessed by a demon named Martha who was going to kill them all. And that's the proof of this. Amora was way ahead of her developmental milestones. At a year old, she was already walking. To Blaine, this was proof the toddler was possessed. And all of this was happening because Jessica was a liar and God wanted his revenge. And the only way to fix this was to perform an exorcism on Amora. According to the arrest report, Jessica admitted in the days before Amora's death, the couple decided Amora needed an exorcism. And this was why there was a trip to the pawn shop, selling household goods, trying to gather enough money to hire a priest to perform the exorcism. When they couldn't make enough money, they decided to buy cigarettes instead, and Blaine claimed God gave him his blessing to carry out the exorcism himself. Jessica told Ranger Kenny Ray that Blaine performed the exorcism in the master bedroom while she remained in the other room watching TV, and Blaine would spend the next 30 hours beating Amora with his hands, fists and other objects to exorcise a demon from her. When Amora's screams became too loud, Jessica just turned up the volume of the TV. At some point during the drawn-out torturous assault, Blaine stopped to make a trip to Walmart for supplies, Jessica and Amora going along for the drive. And when they returned, it was right back to the beatings. At one point, Amora would escape and run out of the bedroom to hide. And this apparent loving and caring mother didn't do anything to protect her daughter. She simply told Blaine exactly where Amora was hiding. Blaine alleging Amora had just had a hammer and was hitting herself in the head. Jessica said that when she heard her daughter screaming, it wasn't actually Amora but the demon, and she preferred her to be dead than living with a demon inside her. The case had become so notorious that Blaine's trial had to be moved from the original location in Rusk County in order to find an unbiased jury, in front of presiding judge, Judge Clay Gossett. When jurors saw the graphic photos of Amora's body in court, many of them were visibly shaken and had to wipe away tears. Forensic pathologist Dr. Keith Pickard testified that injuries to Amora were extensive, making it impossible to determine the exact cause of death. Many of the injuries would have been fatal on their own, but said Amora would have felt every bite, every bone break, the sexual assault. And the high amounts of Tylenol and Benadryl she was given would have done nothing to mask the pain. That's because it couldn't be determined which injury actually killed Amora. It was classified as death by homicidal violence. Dr. Pickard testified the force and pain generated from the bites Amora suffered would have been like slamming her hand in a car door. What would have been horrific for the jury members, but Dr. Pickard was given a doll to point out where each of the bite marks were, during which Blaine covered his eyes the entire time. May 2010, for Blaine Milam, the insanity defence was rejected, and after less than an hour of deliberation, the jury found him guilty of capital murder. He received a death sentence by lethal injection. A year later, for Jessica Carson, the insanity defence was also rejected. And in less than 2 hours of deliberations, she was also found guilty and she received a life sentence without the possibility of parole. Amora's father, Alan Mutina, gave a victim impact statement prior to sentencing, quote, "As a soldier, I've been in South Korea for the past year. I've only seen Amora twice in her life, and woe and behold, the third was the last time as I buried my little girl. To my little angel, I will always be with you, and we will meet again in the next life. I will always love you in this life and the next." Unquote. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Blaine's execution date has been pushed several times. In 2019, Blaine Milam was granted a stay of execution by the Texan Court of Criminal Appeals, only one day before he was scheduled to be killed. Most recently, he was scheduled to be executed on January 21, 2021, but his sentence was once again stayed. Blaine's defence team claiming that he's intellectually disabled, emotionally stunted at age 12, and with a low IQ. The defence arguing Blaine can be easily manipulated. The defence has also suggested that Blaine's lack of education and the influence of drugs should be factors taken into consideration. And as we've seen in other stories we've talked about on this podcast, the death sentence is ruled out for those with proven intellectual disabilities. So this could potentially impact if this execution ever actually happens. A member of Blaine's defence team recalled that Blaine seemed to have a lack of understanding of the situation even during the trial. He apparently asked, quote, "Why do these people not like me? Why do they want to kill me?" Unquote. Blaine Milam is currently being held at the Polonoski unit in Livingston, Texas. Amora Carson was laid to rest at the Rosewood Park Cemetery in Longwood, Texas. A granite marker with a heart-shaped copper plaque bears her name, date of birth, and the date she was cruelly stolen from this world. Amora was later described by those who knew and loved her as a beautiful, blonde-haired, blue-eyed baby. She was always happy and full of life, rarely ever crying. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the story we discussed today, or any stories we talk about here on Stolen Lives, Please search Stolen Lives Podcast on Facebook. Like the page so you don't miss an episode. And join the Stolen Lives discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice. And subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. We are now on YouTube. 2 episodes a month where you'll get an exclusive video including photos, maps and news clips. We are still learning what we are doing, so please be kind. But we would appreciate it if you head on over and give our videos a like and subscribe to the channel. This all will allow me to share more of the stories you want to hear. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.